Well, somebody go get John McCall. He's dancing a jig in the hallway. Diddle-dee.
Yeehaw!
What's that boy? It's a Scottish comedian named Danny Boy. Have you ever seen him?
He's hilarious.
He says he's Scottish, and he's an Indian fellow, but he's Scottish. He says people think I'm Irish. I said, I'm not Irish, I'm Scottish. I said, how do you tell the difference? Hello, my name's Danny Boy. I'm Scottish. You can hear it. He says, and this is Irish. Diddle-dee potato. Well, we're almost at the end of our St. Patrick's Day special with John McCauley, our special co-host. You've never co-hosted before, have you?
No, you had me in the show once for an hour, but I do. I like calling in every now and again. I do listen to you guys.
You text me during the show. You scare me.
I know, but sometimes you don't answer, so then I stop listening. And now that I know it's Tim runs the actual show, I'm just going to write to him.
What do you think of that band?
I'm telling you, I'm downloading every one of their albums if they have them on iTunes.
Rant, Maggie, rant.
I might have them at my 60th birthday.
Dude, that would be amazing.
Mm. It's 8 years away.
It's 8 years away.
Hopefully they'll still be around.
Well, listen, it's our last segment on the show today, and this is our grand finale for Soul Survivor. So maybe we should cue up the Soul Survivor music just to make it feel, you know, to Greg like we're actually doing Soul Survivor. There it is. 2 years ago we did it and people thought we were crazy. Well, make room for crazy because it's back. Soul Survivor, religious tribes competing for the soul of one person. Tribal leaders explain to our Soul Survivor what it is their tribe actually believes. And the tribal leaders did not have immunity, especially the first one. Our Soul Survivor will be able to challenge, critique, or question any aspect of all tribal codes. At the end of the contest, our Soul Survivor will then decide which tribe presented the most compelling case for faith. Then, they will reveal to us if they'll be joining that tribe. Greg's on the phone. Greg, how you doing, buddy?
Well, thank you. How are you, Drew?
Well, I'm doing quite well as well. Let me just bring everyone up to speed. We're going to summarize 5-6 weeks of events. We started off with a different Soul Survivor, and that Soul Survivor was not able to continue on our show. But during the first tribal inquisition, our Soul Survivor started off by asking Robert Millett from Tribe Mormonism, one of the world's leading Mormon scholars. He started off by asking this. So essentially you're a racist organization? That was his first question. And the second question was, and 4 years before your religion started, the founder was in prison for fraud. Is that right? So Bob Millett hung up on us then. That's the first.
Because it was true?
I guess. That's what we're left to believe, I guess. Hmm. So we didn't get too far down the path of tribe Mormonism for you to explore. But then we had, who was next? I guess Gandhi's grandson, Arun Gandhi. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. You had him on twice, actually.
So tribe Hinduism. And then we had Sheikh Hamza Yusuf from tribe Muslim, who's pretty much a rock star in the world of Muslim scholars. And then Bob Thurman from tribe Buddhism. He is Uma Thurman's dad, founder of Buddhist House, I think, in New York City.
Not to be confused with the restaurant.
Richard Gere, and friend of the Dalai Lama. And then last week, William Paul Young. Paul Young, the author of The Shack, he represented tribe Christianity. So today, Greg, we want to know from you who you thought did the best job at putting forth their belief system to you.
Who did the best job, or who am I choosing? Do you want me to say who was the most articulate?
Both.
I think the person that did the best job was Hamza Yusuf. Mm-hmm. I think he had the biggest challenge ahead of him because of the disparity between Islam and Christianity that's out there in the world today. So I think he was the most patient, and I think he was the one who rose to the challenge without getting offended by some pretty tough questions, I think, that we put to him.
And aside from Bob Millett, who hung up the phone and did not have the chance to convince you about Mormonism, who sucked?
Who sucked? Well, nobody sucked, Drew. They were all good.
Good answer.
I had the most conflict with Bob Thurman, unfortunately, and I think it's just because I had my own baggage that I brought to that, in the sense that
you had Buddhist baggage, didn't you?
I did. I had Buddhist baggage. You know, I was saying everyone else had baggage at the table, and I realized I didn't conduct myself as well as I would have liked with him. It got controversial or antagonistic slightly, and I think he did a lot of dancing around. A lot of the questions he just didn't want to answer, and so I think he was the hardest one to pin down with any semblance of an answer. And then after that, I would say Arun Gandhi was tough, but for a different reason. I wasn't personally interviewing him, but he was a real shadow dancer with really taking a universalist approach. So we didn't get a chance to drill down into Hinduism with its more local practices.
And would you say, I thought you maybe said the same thing about William Paul Young. You felt that he was a bit, I know Matt, our tribal council, certainly thought Paul was shadow dancing.
I didn't feel that quite that way with Paul Young, and I re-listened to the segment, and no, I think that was really Matt's take more than mine.
Okay.
I think Paul's a pretty sort of wide open person in the sense the way he represented Christianity. So I don't think he seemed to approach everything with fairly straightforward answers. I think they just weren't the kind of answers Matt was expecting from somebody that was supposed to represent a conservative base Christian group.
Right. You know, I was talking to someone the other day about this, and Tim, you'll probably kind of dig on this as well. The people that we chose, aside from Sheikh Hamza Yusuf, and even him a little bit, all of them are not right-leaning at all. All of them were not ultra-conservative, ultra-orthodox, or ultra-fundamentalist. And obviously, I mean, I did that on purpose because I don't like ultra-fundamentalists. So, I mean, Bob Millett, maybe, I don't know, but we have to leave Tribe Mormonism out because he quit. So Gandhi's grandson, he represented Tribe Hinduism, but he was a universalist. Sheikh Hamza Yusuf, when we pushed him on certain issues, you know, he was able to give us some decent answers without saying, look, it says it in the Quran. And so if it says it, I believe it. You know, that kind of sort of evangelical answer to things. Bob Thurman was certainly, you know, and I think maybe with tribe Buddhism, you sort of expect a little bit of a kumbaya about everything. And then William Paul Young, he's certainly not a Jerry Falwell of any sort, or a Benny Hinn, or Machine Gun MacArthur. He's pretty kumbaya about stuff. So everybody was sort of all nicey, right? Don't you think?
Yeah, they definitely were. And I don't know how you get around that. To your point is, you know, you want somebody who's articulate, who's going to espouse some parts of their religion. But I get the feeling that all of the main religions have so many splintered groups that it's hard to find, you know, who's going to speak for everybody.
Yeah.
And that's a hard thing.
Yeah. All right. So after hearing all these great, I mean, these are pretty influential people within each tribe. After hearing all of these representatives and speaking with many of them yourself, is there one that you think now, you know what, I need to lean into that one a little more?
I do. If you'd like, I'll give you the two that sort of tied for first place and who's edged ahead.
Okay.
Keep it short.
Yes, please.
I know we don't have quite the same time. It came down to, for me, between Hinduism and Christianity. Tribe Hindu and tribe Christian.
Yeah.
And for the longest time, I would have put Hinduism ahead up until really this last week or two. And so my final choice is actually Christianity.
You know, I feel like are we supposed to applaud?
I don't know.
Well, I was stunned. It's funny I have a weird reaction to that, John. Because if he picked something else, I'd go, oh, okay, cool. But he picked this tribe. Like, he picked, this is a Christian radio station. We all come from, you know, the Christian tribe. And he picked this tribe, and I don't know what to do.
Yeah, but are you more worried about your listeners than you are necessarily about the actual choice?
Yeah, you know, I'm not trying to pander to your audience.
No, you're not. You're not a panderer.
I'm probably the worst person at pandering. And I'll tell you why I chose that. Just sort of going quickly through, of course, the Mormons are all crazy, so they're off.
and they hang up on you.
I mean, well, that wasn't me saying it, but, you know, they're pretty crazy. But, you know, Mormons second place. The one I rejected the most was Muslims because it's just too crazy, fundamentalist, medieval world out there. And I'm, you know,
Good thing we haven't given your last name out and your address.
Yeah, well, you know, people still getting, you know, executed for sorcery, you know, in the predominantly Muslim countries. You just don't want to be the one white guy walking down the street, and I don't want to change my name. And so I find that whole religion frightening. The next one up was the Mormons, because they're a little crazy, but at least there's some form of Christianity, and I can kind of recognize them a little bit. You know, I'm talking, you know, on a sliding scale, but the Buddhism was an interesting one, but because I'm already following a sort of ethical stoic type approach, there's not really much spice to be added by becoming a Buddhist. You know, why make the change?
Right.
So it really left me with Hinduism and Christianity. And the one thing with Hinduism that always puts it out in front, always just up to that point, is that Hinduism, even though we didn't really get into it with Arun Gandhi, is the only religion that I know of that actually has humor in its writings, tells jokes about Krishna. I think that says an enormous amount about a religion that actually has humor built into their storytelling.
Well, David did dance naked in the street.
And Jesus did make wine, which is pretty hilarious.
That's hilarious.
Which is pretty good, but like Krishna used to, you know, slip out at night and go dancing with all the young maidens in the woods. They would always be, you know, he did all sorts of wonderful things.
I signed up for the wrong program.
I know. And there is a sensuality, sexuality or sensuality in the Hindu religion. So there's a lot of pageantry. I figured if I would go for something great. But, you know, when we were talking last, I believe it was on last week's show, what really stopped me was saying yes, but I don't know that I can, you know, light some incense and pray to an elephant god.
Yeah.
It's too foreign for me.
Yeah.
It you know, so I look at all of them, and I have to say, at least with Christianity, and my wife's just appalled. I mean, she just won't talk to me. She's kidding me, right? She's, you know, we're anti-church, anti-theist, and she's less than impressed that I've chosen Christianity.
Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah. Great for the ratings. Well, sorry about your marriage.
So we definitely won't put her name out there, but at least when I look at, apart from all the dogma and all the issues that surround it, still at least the story of Jesus is you know, of peace and brotherhood and helping each other out and turning the other cheek and being kind to people. And
well, for me, let me just interject. For me, the biggest palatable factor of Christianity or of Christ is that smaller is bigger. The least is greatest in the kingdom of God. It's the upside down leadership scale that Christ was on about. If you want to be big, you want to be a big deal? Okay, serve somebody.
Yes. Yeah, and I think a lot of it's abused. I think there's a lot of Christianity which is just to perpetuate the status quo. There's a lot of power brokering going on.
Yeah, we talked about that with Paul last week, yeah.
You're not really keen on the clergy and how all those parts are happening. But the other thing too, pragmatically for me, is I can get a pretty liberal version of Christianity. I don't have to go all Hail Mary on it, right? I don't have to.
Right.
Well, you can. I mean, you can join a pretty liberal. Like, it wasn't the same as, for example, with the Muslims. You know, they have some moderate areas, but you got to kind of really. I mean, you got to pray to Mecca five times a day and all that obedience and submission. I can hit up a Christian church and feel good about what I'm doing without, you know, I could pick a pretty moderate soft landing into a Christian church.
Interesting stuff. So interesting. Yeah. The way you pull apart this journey, the way you've pulled apart this journey has just been, John and I are staring at each other going, man, there's so much to unpack in what you've been saying. So much to unpack. But we don't have time. So
no, we don't have time.
Well, Greg, I want to say a couple things to you. First of all, thank you for coming for pinch hitting when our other Soul Survivor stopped and couldn't do it anymore.
Well, it was an honor, Drew.
Number two, thank you for communicating quite eloquently so much, so well. You've done that consistently. And number three, you've just been a real good guy to hang out with, man. And so thanks for not being a jerk.
Oh, well, thank you. It's been a pleasure, and it was a wonderful opportunity because, as you mentioned, how often do you get the chance to tell the Dalai Lama's best friend that, you know, you think the guy's a pope? You know, I mean, that was worth the price of admission.
That's it right
that
there.
Was, to me, that was perfect.
Good, Good stuff. All right. Well, listen, Greg, we'll let you go, and thanks. We'll probably get back to you again in the future and touch base with you and see if you've shaved your head or bought the T-shirt or got the WWJD bracelet or something. Okay.
Yeah, don't get cross with me. I'll do my best.
Okay. Yeah. Go watch a Kirk Cameron movie. Take care, buddy.
Okay. Cheers. Bye.
Okay. All right, folks. That's the end of our show. If you missed any of Soul Survivor, you can go to soulsurvivor.ca or go to our website and click on Soul Survivor. That's pretty easy. Thanks for tuning in. It's our St. Patrick's Day special. It's been a real beauty. John McCauley's been here with us the entire time. Of course, Meg's the intern in the corner and Tim the Tool working the board. That's the end of the Drew Marshall Show. Thank you so, so much for tuning in. And may you find the God who sees you.
So I'll be asking for forgiveness then until the day I die. Though I can't be sure of what I've done, I think I'd better try. Well, thank God you're not the jury. Well, thank God I'm not the judge. Used to a bigger picture.
And Muskoka Woods is a fantastic place. Way up north there in the Muskoka area, right beside Martin Short's place and who's the other famous person? Goldie Hawn.
She moved.
Oh, she moved. Right. And I'm just saying all of this nice stuff because John is giving me a $20 bill. Muskoka Woods, send your kids there.
My son got wide. He took it. He took my $20.
Patrick's Day. People ask me how I'm doing, and I come from all their fears. Well, I'm swearing like a trooper, and I'm drinking like a bomb. I'm a liberal backslider, but it sure is a lot of fun.